said, wake up, puff.
This is Mix 94.5's Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
Hey podcasters, it's Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here.
On today's catch-up, tech expert Trevor Long explained the new government tracking app, although he says we're not supposed to call it that now.
The one and only Lockie Reed will be laying down his Lockie's lockdown quiz.
Yeah, we were terrible yesterday. Look, we find a lady in Perth who knocked back Oscar winner Jamie Foxx.
And we give you all the details for our Anzac Day broadcast for Saturday.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
Currently in Gadgetland, our tech guru Trevor Long. Welcome, Trev.
I'm going to get a postcode for Gadgetland.
Yeah. Expect the gadget. Say good day.
Trevor, I am hearing people quite keen on this government tracking app, with folks believing if they know where the coronavirus is, then they're going to be safe. But this kind of tracking is fresh hell for me. I do not trust the government. How is this app going to work?
I don't trust the government much either. But I think the number one thing we've got to do is stop using the word tracking. And the government have handled this so poorly in even softly announcing this app, which isn't even available yet, to be clear. The app will be out hopefully in the next 2 weeks. What it is all about is your phone using Bluetooth, not GPS, so no location tracking, uses Bluetooth to communicate with other phones that it's nearby. So if you go to the shops, the cafe, or you're just, you know, meeting up with people socially distant, your phone keeps a little record. Your phone sees all the other phones around it, and it keeps a list. And it keeps that list on your phone, not on government servers, on your phone.
Right.
If you were to test positive to coronavirus, the health authorities can get access to that data from your phone and use it to start finding all those people and say, hey, guys, you've been in contact with someone with coronavirus. It's called contact tracing. They do it now by manually interviewing people who have coronavirus and asking them, who are they with and who are you standing next to at Woolworths? And it's a really manual process. This automates it and hopefully very radically stops the spread.
We've obviously had, you know, various situations, AFP raids on journalists stealing data. We've had breakdown of Centrelink's systems and whatnot. So people are feeling very wary about this anyway. Does the government need to legislate and put into law exactly what and it can and can't use?
Spot on. I think we need to have some transparency here that says very clearly what this does and how it will be utilised and who has the access. So that's all we need, is a bit of clarity around that. But I think most importantly, we have to reassure each other there is no location tracking and there is no central database of all the people we've been near and with automatically.
Okay. So what you're saying, Trevor, people can rest easy. This is not a COVID version of a leper alert that will go off and send an alarm on your phone and calls.
There's no notification. You can relax. It's not tracking you. It's just going to keep us all safe.
So can I just check then, Trev, does that mean if we don't activate our Bluetooth and I choose not to use it, I don't have to? Or is it going to
That's
be...
Right. It's not mandatory. You don't have to install the app. But if you don't install the app and you did stand next to someone at the cafe and they did have the app, you've missed the opportunity to be made aware that you stood near someone who had coronavirus and potentially test yourself.
Well, who knows what's going to happen there. Now, I was never standing next to Tony Mockbell, Your Honour. Trev, Zoom, we're all using it, and we were I think the last time we spoke, you said you were pretty confident with the platform and its security measures. Where are we at now?
We're at the same point where there's still some concerns, and I think the concerns are for governments and defence departments. I don't want them using Zoom because there is a chance that the video call you're making is being routed through countries we're not big fans of, right? But I'm not really worried about my chat with my mates going through some weird country and them jumping in on it. What I'm worried about is people jumping in on my kids' calls, random people coming into Zoom calls. So the basic protections you need on Zoom are put a password on the meeting so that no one can just randomly join with a random number. And secondly, have a waiting room. So you as the host get to choose who joins your meeting.
Okay, so the biggest problem becomes those who forget there's a camera on their laptop and they sit on the toilet, or they forget there's no pants on and there's a mirror behind them. They're the main issues, aren't they?
You've got to do the basic scoping of what are people seeing of me.
Yeah. Hey, Trevor, beautiful work, mate. We appreciate your expertise and always good to have a chat.
My pleasure.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
Lachie Reed, how are you?
Clarzy, how are you going? Beautiful day today. Oh, sky's blue, sun's out, loving it.
Looks pretty magic out there. Hey, Lachie, a big thanks for you and Tanya to come in for the last 2 weeks and do breakfast for us so we could have some sleep-ins. It was much appreciated. And
I loved it.
You guys did a great job. But we want you back. We want you for your lockdown quiz.
Yeah, lockdown. It went worldwide, the lockdown quiz. Very impressive. Paddy Mills rang me and said, I want to be part of it. So I want to be part of the lockdown quiz. So, yeah, very nice of you to keep it going for the period where we're all locked down and just needing something a little different each and every day.
Yeah, Lachie, you and Tan actually did too good a job. We're slightly frightened, actually. I'm not sure that I wanted you back on, to be a bit fair, but here we go.
No, that is not true. The listeners were calling in saying, get this team off and get the proper one on.
No, sorry, look, that was me.
Yeah, the Matt Down quiz didn't have the same ring to it. But
okay.
Let's do this.
I think we should do it, the lockdown quiz with our mate Lachie Reed. Let's go.
All righty, I'm going to start it away because I've tailored this quiz. Now, people at home, grab your pens and paper, get round the kitchen table because you're involved. We want to see what you get throughout the days. But I've tailored this quiz for our breakfast team. Maddie, I know you spent the last, the best part of 10 years in grade three, so I'm keeping that in mind. Kimber could have been a doctor. Chose radio over being a doctor and Claire's Wag School just to go to rock concerts. So question number one. Question one. If I said melts in your mouth, not in your hands, what product am I talking about?
Okay.
Question one. If I said melts in your mouth, not in your hands, what product am I talking about? I know Kim is drooling right now, but anyway, that's question number one.
Right.
Question number two. In nature, what is a Red Admiral? In nature, what is a Red Admiral? That is question number two.
Right.
Okay. There's lots of just groaning in the background.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
No excitement.
It's a lot of thinking going on.
Matt's concentrating. Right. I can see him. He looks like a librarian.
I thought it was a Russian general.
How do you think you're going, Kimber, at the moment?
I think I'm going okay. I've already scribbled out the second answer and gone for another one. But we'll see.
For another one. Maddie, how are you going?
Not bad.
Not bad. There's a bit of hesitation there. And Claire's, you'd be two from two because you're a brainiac, aren't
you? I'm actually thinking of leaving you to go to a gig, but there's no gigs on.
All right. Question three. It's the fast three for the lockdown quiz.
Yep.
Each and every day I did Who Am I? I'm dressed as someone, but this time I'm going to use a little bit of audio. Always wanted to be this guy. And instead of me reading out the hints, he's going to give you the hints. Here he is now.
G'day, folks. Who am I? I am a 5-time Olympian who loved to score. In fact, I scored a lot over my career. I played most of my life in Australia as a Tiger, but I did play overseas as well. Upon retirement, I did some television commentary. Now, if nobody in the room has the answer yet, all I've got to say is turn it up and you should give up the trivia and try something else.
There we go. Who am I?
That is the some question. Sort of sporting person, I'd say.
Yeah, and little hints. Mm. I'm currently dressed in very tight shorts, so it probably goes back a little bit of time. And gee, I'm walking nicely at the moment along the footy club grass down here.
Ooh.
At Kingsway. Ooh, got a real swagger about myself in the tight shorts. All right, so that was question number three. I'll give you the answers, guys. All right.
Okay. All right.
Question number one. Yep. If I said melts in your mouth, not in your hands, what product am I talking about, Kipper? Answer.
I went with M&M's.
M&M's is correct.
Hey!
Leslie, did you get that?
Yeah, got that one.
I put Malteser.
Oh.
Maddie, come on.
No.
You fool. All right, question number two. In nature, what is a Red Admiral? Maddie?
I put a bird.
Oh, Maddie, you might just need to do a bit of study over the next 24 hours.
Don't say that, Lachie, because I put fish and then scribbled it out and changed it to bird.
No, I had fish.
It is a butterfly.
Oh.
A butterfly.
All wrong. Oh, there.
All wrong.
Butterfly
question
effect.
Question two was a butterfly.
Red Admiral.
And question number three, who am I? A superstar of his sport. His name is Kimber.
I only say Matthew Pavlich whenever it's a football. My answer is always Matthew Pavlich.
Bam.
It doesn't matter. Any of the stats don't matter. Yeah. It's always Pav.
Close but no cigar, Claresy.
Oh, it was Bryce Cotton, of course, mate.
Bryce Cotton, close but no cigar. Maddie, come on.
Avert your gaze, it's Andrew Gaze.
Hey!
Andrew Gaze is correct.
Legend.
Well done, team. So, Maddie, 1 out of 3, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we won't publicise that too much. Kimber?
Yeah, 1 out of 3, mate.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay. Clazzy?
Yeah, 1 out of 3, throw it to Bryce.
Okay, righto. Tomorrow, the easy quiz. That one was the medium. We'll go the easy one.
Please.
No, no, medium's okay, Lockie, because I learned something along the way.
Yeah, there you go. A butterfly. It's a beautiful butterfly, black wings. But anyway, there you go. You learn something every day from the lockdown quiz.
Out the window in Subi right now, there's a Red Admiral. Can't believe it. How's the luck? Good on you,
Lockie. Good on you, Lockie. Thanks, mate. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning
on Mix 94.5. I noticed that Deborah Lee Furness, the wonderful actor, I don't know if you've ever seen the film Shame, but that was the first time I'd seen her work, and my God, it's brilliant. And of course, she met Hugh Jackman, and who doesn't love Hugh Jackman, Australia's favourite Hugh Jackman, on the TV show Corelli.
Yeah.
They're slightly different ages, and Hugh Jackman had asked Deborah Lee Furness out on a date. And then, at the same time, Sir Mick Jagger, no less, had asked for a date with Deborah Lee Furness, and Deborah Lee Furness knocked Sir Mick Jagger back.
Boom!
Hey!
And can you imagine Mick? He would have been absolutely, what's going on?
And he'd never get knocked back, would he? Let's be honest.
She knocked Mick Jagger to go out on a first date with Hugh Jackman.
I mean, she did all right, didn't she? It all worked out.
I mean, everyone loves Hugh Jackman, of course.
And,
reminded me, you remember last year we did that story about the young woman who swam over to Neil Diamond's yacht on the Swan River, and he asked her to go out with him to lunch, and she was a teacher, and so she swam back. Knocked back Neil Diamond, and then we told the story, and then she rang us.
She called us. Well, she was taking, she was a school teacher who was taking kids on swimming lessons.
That's right, right. So
story. About dating celebrities. Like, if I tell my partner James he's all I want, he'll joke and say, yeah, but you wouldn't turn down Robert Downey Jr. As if it's a possibility. Like, you have that moment where you're like, would I turn down? I'm like, as if Robert Downey Jr. doesn't give a choice in this. Like,
No.
That's what makes the hall pass acceptable is because both parties agree that it's never going to happen.
Yeah, the fantasy world.
Oh, yeah, they really want you, these celebrities, don't they?
Yeah.
But, I'd be curious. I'm interested to know whether there's anyone in Perth or anyone of you listening in the greater part of the world.
Yeah,
they've knocked back a celebrity or dated one.
Okay, so it is another celeb story, but Billy Joel at one stage in 1984 dated Elle Macpherson once, right? And dropped Elle Macpherson, I speak of the body, the original tab girl, for his uptown girl, Christy Brinkley. Oh! I mean, let's be honest, he did pretty well, didn't he?
Oh, God.
Like, these are not big risks these people are taking,
probably not.
Are they? Mick Jagger or Hugh Jackman?
But, how cool would it be if back in 1980 when Kiss first came to Perth, that someone dated or indeed knocked back Paul Stanley or Gene Simmons on a date?
Funny you say that, Matt. There was a girl that I worked with.
A friend of mine.
At PMFM. There was a girl who Paul was very, very keen on. She worked in the promotions department and, got the flick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was fascinating to watch that unfold. And Paul was...
A friend of mine... knocked back a guitarist who was playing for Alex Lloyd. Is that celebrity enough?
Yeah, we'll take anything.
No.
We'll take the local footy coach.
We could stretch the word celebrity as far as we want it.
We want names,
Kimber. Absolutely. If you've knocked back someone who played on telethon at 3 a.m. on the main stage there, we'll take that as celebrity at the moment. So let's go to Ellenbrook. Good morning, Geraldine.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Give us your juicy story.
So probably about 2 years ago, we were in Singapore and we snuck our way up to the fancy hotel with the boat on the top.
Yes.
And we were there for about 20 minutes and the next thing, Jamie Foxx came in and he was sitting at the table kind of opposite us and we sent our 3-year-old daughter over to say hi.
Yeah.
And we ended up chatting to him and he basically invited us to his New Year's Eve party because he was there for New Year's Eve. And we were not sure if he was actually inviting us or not, so we kind of changed the subject because we were like, why would he want some, common people to come to his party? After that, we had a photo with him and he left.
So, the Marina Bay Sands.
Did not go to the party.
With an Oscar winner.
No, we didn't because we weren't sure. Is he actually inviting us or not?
Oh, I would have loved that nice? Scene, Geraldine, to see you knocking on the door going, "Hey, Jamie," and he's like, "Oh, okay, I was just being polite."
Hi, Foxy.
Geraldine, if you could go back to that time, though, do you think you would have just clarified and said, "Hey, are you asking us to come to this party?" Because then, like, you could have missed out on this moment. If you could do it again, would you have done it differently?
Yeah, absolutely, because he also said to us, look, my kids were going to be there, and, you know, his partner, and we were like, oh, okay.
Well, Geraldine, you might have dodged a bullet, though, because it could have been one of those parties where you got there and he just sat everyone down and you had to watch his movies.
Oh, let's put Ray on again.
Exactly. And can I just say one more thing?
Yeah, go for it.
Matt, a few years ago, I think you were doing the South African accent for the cricket.
Oh, I was not, Geraldine. How could you say that?
I think you need to work on it a bit, though.
I thought it was praise coming.
You've broken his heart. It's his favourite accent to try.
That's okay.
You did a good enough job.
Oh, thank you.
One of the great celebrity knockbacks or punchdowns. That's a knockdown. Thanks, Geraldine, I think.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Oh, sorry, Matt. We'll never put her on again.
Blimey, the fact that she felt she could fit that in, just slide that in on the way out.
It's always a worry when they say, can I say one more thing? And we go, this could go anywhere. And it did. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning. On Mix 94.5. Of course, everything's a little bit different right now, guys, but Anzac Day is going to be very different for 2020, let's be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, especially in Perth, we normally have so many people who head up to King's Park and lots of different places around Perth to do a service, the dawn service, and that's going to be different this year because people are doing it from their driveways.
Yes, and I think with the times that we're in at the moment, people are feeling compelled to say thank you. Obviously, at the moment, we've got modern-day heroes, our health workers, our people working the checkout at Coles, so many people stepping up. And I think, you know, Anzac Day is always a very special and solemn day in the Australian calendar, and I think people will really want to jump on board this.
Love the way that people are sort of supporting this and supporting and the memory of those that we've lost, of course, over the years, our service people. Heading, of course, to the end of their driveways and onto balconies, into the backyards, and either on the radio or the Mix 94.5 app with some headphones on and some ears in, plugged in, and commemorating a very special day.
Yeah, if that helps you out, that's a great way to do it. As you say, go to the end of the driveway. If you've got the app or you've got a radio there with some headphones on, and we'll be doing a broadcast from 5:30 in the morning, goes for about half an hour, and you know, there will be your traditional, your ceremonial piper and the didgeridoo player, of course, and a bugler. So we'll have those traditional elements there broadcasting on air for you so that you can all share it together from your driveway.
Fantastic. And as I say, Anzac Day, such a special day on the Aussie calendar. We can't let this silly old COVID-19 get in the way.
Yeah, true. Yeah, lest we forget. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning. On Mix 94.5. Another day brings fun news with the occasional bizarre twist. Get us some cream.
What?
She's a really good news reader, but here's
what Jim King missed. Now, my friends, we're all experiencing something very new and unusual with this stay-at-home isolating. It's affecting all of us in different ways. Kimber, you and I were talking about how it seems to be affecting our dogs' behaviour.
Yeah, they're being a bit anxious, a little bit strange.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that this disease, this terrible virus, doesn't discriminate. We saw, you know, world leaders, Boris Johnson, go down with it. So everyone has to be wary of it. And even the godlike King of Thailand is in isolation. Yeah, one night in Bangkok. Well, not, as it turns out, for King Maha, the King of Thailand. And just in case the Thai authorities are listening, I love your country. I do wish to visit soon, and I think the King's a top bloke.
Sorry, mate, can't have it each way.
But the King Maha is isolating, but it's not the sort of isolation that you and I are. You know, I'm here in a very small sort of three-bedroom townhouse, but King Maha has booked out an entire hotel in Bavaria, in Germany. And he's there isolating with 20 concubines.
Okay. Oh.
Yes, so he's doing it pretty tough at the moment. Right. He normally has 119 people in his entourage.
Sure.
But he's sent them back to Thailand. And so he's just self-isolating with these 20 ladies, I'm assuming ladies, in an enormous hotel, the Sonnabichi, in Bavaria.
That's Sonnabichi.
Yeah, so there he is, and so He's enjoying himself. And, you know, as I said, he did send most of his entourage back. He said, you go home.
Yeah.
I've got this.
Of course he does.
I'll be here. But they're not sure if his fourth wife is with him.
Right.
Why the fourth one? Is that just the one that they've...
Well, she doesn't get on with the 17th one, unfortunately.
I'm thinking of all the times that I have visited Thailand and dressed very modestly to respect the culture. And here's old mate here, the king, shacked up with multiple women that essentially are playboy bunnies.
Like a bordello.
I'm sure it's all above board, Kimber, and King Maha, we respect you, and I very much want to get back there soon.
He's having the last laugh. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the
morning on Mix 94.5. It is really hard work at the moment not feeding my face, and I don't quite know why, but everyone I speak to says they're in the same boat.
Yep.
Well, of course, we all hoarded and doomsday prepped cans of, you know, chunky soup and whatnot that we've now got to get through.
Actually, do you want to buy some baked beans, Matt? They're only $6 a can.
But you know what's happening is because things right now, people are looking for things to do. They're getting those dumb tasks done that you simply don't have time for any other time in life.
Of course.
Like cleaning out the pantry or the fridge. And I went through myself and I found some things that had expired a fair while ago. I found some coriander, ground coriander, that expired in 2013, but I thought, might come in handy. Still kind of smelled like coriander, so I kept it.
2013 was a good year for coriander, too.
It certainly was, yeah. Golden year.
I also found some diet shakes that expired in 2016. They were completely unopened. I feel like I probably should have drunk those. really should have. But, my friend Clinton, he's a friend of ours. He went through his pantry, found some curry powder from 2009, some expensive vinegar from down south. You know when you go down south and you go... Let's get a special dressing.
Or
let's
get truffle oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, and suddenly I love ducker.
Yeah, you know, it's like a romantic notion, isn't it, to get that token?
Yeah, he found some expensive vinegar from 2012 that expired. Oh, and a Vegemite ice snack from 2010. Remember the ice snack when Vegemite bought out that like limited edition ice snack version?
Kind of been good if you never ate it.
No.
Yeah, no, well, he held onto it thinking it was going to be like collector's edition stuff. But have you guys found something in your pantry or your house that is well expired?
Well, I asked my partner T this morning because I knew we were doing this topic. I said, what's the oldest, most expired thing you've ever found in the house? And she said, you. As in me. But I know my mum's got a beautiful neighbour and my mum does live with some lovely people. They all look out for each other, particularly at the moment. And she's always dropping stuff off at mum's place, like old soya sauce and all sorts of things. I've never seen anything that this lovely lady has left that hasn't gone past its use by date.
Oh, dear.
And it's always that tricky situation of, is it used by or best before?
Yes.
You know, am I in that middle ground?
Yeah, some will last longer. When Laurie and I met in 2010, by the time we got to 2011, we moved. We went and bought a house together, right? And so when we cleaned it out, I'd been a bachelor since 2004. So Laurie found all of these condiments and spices in my cupboard from 2004 when I'd gone out and done the big bachelor shop that I never used.
First shop.
Yeah. And there was something in there. It was like curry powder or something. It was like a rock. It was literally like granite.
Oh, I love it. It's the best. I still even remember as a kid, I asked my granddad for a drink and he offered me a can of Coke.
Yep.
And when he gave me the can, it had the America's Cup celebration printed on the can. And it was a long time past 87 when he gave me that drink.
That'd be worth a lot of money, that can.
I don't even know if Coke does go off, but it felt weird drinking it. Hey, that's for sure.
Coke goes off. Don't worry about that.
Love that one, Casey. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5. Guys, in this isolation world, Matt, I've noticed, especially on social media the last couple of days, the words I got you, babe, been ringing in people's ears. And I speak, of course, of that Bill Murray film where every day on Groundhog was like Groundhog Day, the same day, so it keeps rolling out. So you have to find things to do.
Yeah, you really do. And you know, obviously, we've said it so many times, we're lucky to be safe, we're lucky to have a job, but I'm certainly starting to feel a bit toey and really looking forward to when we can all be together again. But there are many jobs around the house. I told you yesterday that I DIY'd a table. That won't be happening again.
No,
you've
done.
Achieved that.
bucket list.
And I think, Claire, you and I both have been having showers separately, of course, looking up at our exhaust fans in the bathroom going, Yeah, that mould probably needs to go.
Well, mine was dust. Mine was 9 months of dust, and I've been looking at it for ages, and I went, I actually cleaned it. Laurie goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm spending about 45 minutes doing a really comprehensive job on this just to fill a bit of time, KC.
Hang on a second. Yes. You're tall enough to be, sometimes when I see that in the shower, I think, God, I wish I could just reach that because I could just do it right now, like rinse it while you're in the shower.
Yeah.
You could reach it, couldn't you, Claire?
Tall is lazy. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. Trying to get away with it.
You know, Casey, I thought about doing that in the shower yesterday, but then I thought, and maybe this is me being paranoid, that that might create a conducting thing between myself, the fan, and the hot, wet shower.
Oh, right.
Gonna,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
do myself
okay.
a mischief.
You're a little bit worried about
Fair
getting
point.
Zapped.
Yeah, yeah.
But you do also find yourself going, okay, well, I've got a task here and a task there. So I did the main bathroom, but the guest bathroom, the other bathroom, the other end of the house, I'm saving that fan for another day.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, since you got
right.
that new wing put on, you know, yeah. you're going to have those problems. Oh, to have those problems.
And then we're joking about Kimber living in the rich suburbs, aren't we?
yeah, exactly.
We're all basically living in one room here.
yeah, exactly.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning. On Mix 94.5.
Maxine, thanks for giving us a call. We've got our lines open, 1-3-3-5-3 for anyone who wants to have a chat. What do you want to share with us?
Well, we have been packing our lunches every day since school finished to avoid confusion and when feeding time is.
Okay.
So
Matt and I need to do this.
Pack your lunches and no more than you need.
That's right. So you get your rations for the day.
Okay.
To keep food limited to a normal, acceptable amount, Maxine.
Yeah, that's right. So the kids come to me at 9:30 and say, we're hungry. And I'm like, well, your lunchbox is in the fridge. You can have morning tea or afternoon tea. Make the choice.
Hey, Maxine, does it help a little structure around the house as well so it's a bit more like normality? Is that sort of part of the thinking?
Yeah, keeps you focused.
Yeah,
I have
seen this, Maxine. Mm. I've seen people putting out trays for the kids with different coloured trays and saying all the snacks for the day are in there, and if you eat them all by 10 a.m, that's your own fault.
Done and dusted.
So it makes them accountable for themselves. I need someone to come to my place. I need a parent to come and do that for me.
I will send Maxine over.
No,
yeah, I do. Maxine's got a trailer.
She can have children to look after.
Yeah, I need someone to send me to the office.
Yeah.
Good luck, guys.
I appreciate it, Maxine. All the best, and wish the kids the best too.
Thank you.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
There is a new podcast available called The Briefing, all about news, current affairs. It's available weekday mornings. You can listen for free. Search The Briefing Podcast wherever you get your podcasts or download the Podcast One Australia app. The host is a former investment banker. He did that as a job after getting out of uni and then had a massive career change, became a TV and respected radio presenter and journalist. Tom Tilley, welcome, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really well, guys. Good to be joining you.
Tom, I want to say thanks for years of great radio. You hosted Triple J's Hack segment for 8 years, where I learned a lot about a lot of things. And is the new on-demand podcast going to be similar, like real stories, real facts?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sort of building on what we did at Hack, where we got right to the guts of stories. The main difference is, which is super exciting, is the co-hosts we're going to have on this show. So each day I'll have a different female co-host, and we've got an epic lineup. We've got Annika Smethurst, who's a double Walkley winner. She brought down Bronwyn Bishop in Choppergate. You might remember that story.
brought her down.
almost literally. She also was raided by the AFP last year. Also got Jeanette Francis, who hosted The Feed on SBS, and Walkley award-winning author Jamila Risby. So a great mix of co-hosts. We'll be bouncing around through the stories and covering a whole bunch of interesting stuff every day.
Mate, I remember a time when my Polish grandmother, my babcia, used to set her clock or check her clock every evening at 6 p.m. as the little clock counted down to the news. It was that important and that big a part of her day. But now it ain't hard to find news. It's everywhere. How do you cut through all the noise?
Yeah, I think it's about building a relationship with your audience where they trust you and they come back to hear the way that you do the news. And there's so much information and noise out there. It's about how you filter that out, the stories that you choose, the way you cover them. I think with a show like this podcast, particularly, are very personal, where, you know, hopefully listeners start to like you and the team and come back also to hang out with you as well as for that solid information.
You talk about that personal kind of thing. I was listening to the Alec Baldwin podcast, which I love, called Here's the Thing. Yeah, David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And I was sitting in the car listening and I went, I forgot that they weren't in the room with me. And that's the magic of that personal experience with the podcast. And with you guys, with so many people feeling in isolation world, this is the perfect timing for the briefing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And like everyone else, and you guys as well, we're working from home parts, so we've got hosts coming in from, you know, their lounge rooms or their studies and bringing different perspectives on what we're all going through.
And so, Tom, who have you got on the lineup to interview? Is it going to be just politicians and things like that, or are you going to be talking to ordinary Australians who are going through some stuff or things that you want to expose that maybe people hadn't even thought about before?
Yeah, it'll be a real mix. We'll break down and explain the big stories. So tomorrow on the podcast, we're going to find out about what wet markets actually are and why they're reopening in China, which I think a lot of people are horrified about, given that's where the virus is believed to have come from. We're also going to get really personal on today's episode that'll go up in a few hours. We're actually going in deep with Annika Smethurst herself to get the real backstory on what happened with that AFP raid and how much it's impacted her. She talks about how she is thinking twice about whether she can buy a house or have a baby or go overseas because she doesn't know if she's going to end up in jail or not. So we'll get super personal. And yeah, we'll also just speak to everyday Australians to hear their stories about what they're going through as well.
And Tom, I'm guessing that Annika isn't downloading the app.
It's safe to say she's a little bit skeptical about her privacy. Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5. It's been probably one of the most spoken words, COVID and Corona being two of the most, but in Australian media over the past 3 or 4 days, the word Virgin has popped up. Not perhaps for that reason, but of course, Virgin Airlines. What's going on with Virgin? We thought we'd talk to aviation expert Tim Collins. Tim, good morning, mate. There's a lot going on, isn't there?
Yes, there is a lot going on at the moment.
Tim, I mean, you know, with Virgin, if they go under, 16,000 jobs at risk. We know Richard Branson's worth almost $7 billion Australian dollars, although some of that will be obviously tied up in the airline itself. And they want a government bailout. What's the future of aviation here if Virgin don't get help?
Okay, so a couple of things, a couple of good points there. First of all, Richard Branson's net worth is tied up in not just Virgin Australia, but also other airlines around the world. He's also actually this morning asking for a UK government bailout as well for Virgin Atlantic. So they're in a similar position to Virgin Australia. In terms of airlines here, I think we need two viable airlines. My view has always been that the government should have bailed out Virgin. I think it's a shame that they haven't, because as you say, there's 16,000 jobs at risk and we won't know for a month whether or how many they're all or how many of them will be saved.
Tim, I don't know if this is a dumb question, but what makes Qantas still viable and Virgin not as a business? Are they two different business models?
No, it's an excellent question, actually, and it's one that I've posed in a media release I put out this morning. But, you know, it was said just a month ago that Virgin had 6 months of cash in the bank and Qantas had 12 months of cash in the bank and they could all survive for 6 months and 12 months, respectively. Well, six in Virgin's case has turned out to be one. Will 12 in Qantas's case turn out to be two or three? And will Qantas, in fact, be going to the government with their handout looking for a government loan, and what will the government do if they didn't give one to Virgin? Can they give one to Qantas? Starts to get quite interesting.
Tim, there's a lot of people out there who had flights booked, holidays organised, and we know that the pandemic has caused a lot of grief for a lot of people. But what does this mean to people who thought they were in good faith going to get another flight within 12 months? It's pretty much all over, isn't it?
Well, funny enough, I've got one booked myself with Virgin for work. I'm not actually sure whether I'm going anywhere right now. So I need to check that out this morning. But companies that are most in administration do often continue to trade. So it might not actually mean everything is turned off. So they may still be flying. But of course, in the long term, we're going to be looking at a very different industry and a very different landscape as far as travel and holidays are concerned.
Tim, we have seen this happen before, airlines like Ansett, God, I remember TAA. I guess this does happen in the marketplace. This is obviously a very unprecedented time. If Virgin do go under, surely someone will jump in and take their place at some point?
Ordinarily, I think they would, but right now, so many airlines are in so much difficulty. I mean, the US government's bailing out their whole industry to the tune of $60 billion, and I'm not sure any airline really has the cash to, you know, reinvest in Australia. I think the best thing that could happen would be that a more viable Virgin emerges like a phoenix from what's happening now. That would be great, because it would preserve the jobs, it would preserve all of the Virgin procedures, their facilities, everything else, and also be a really good, safe outcome.
Tim, how much could I expect to pay for a second-hand 737?
Well, funny, another good question, actually, because American has actually retired permanently 76 of them, which is the equivalent to the whole Qantas fleet in terms of numbers. So probably, I can't give you a number, but it's good bargain hunting if you want.
$400.
Around the same price as a Toyota Corolla, I'm hoping.
Probably, yeah.
Not a Corona.
Yeah, what's the mileage on that, bud?
What are the specs? Hey, yeah, I was going to go there, Tim. What about the planes? From a tangible point of view, with planes themselves, it's not good for planes to be sitting on tarmacs for a long period of time. If we're, I don't know, there's a new world in December or something, what happens? They have to be completely stripped and checked out, don't they?
No, if there's sort of warm storage and cold storage, right? So right. Cold storage is when they're completely sort of shut down and have to be re-immersed and all sorts of maintenance and everything else. But warm storage is, you know, they turn on the systems, they check the door seals, they run the engines and run all the electrics to make sure all the systems are working. So that's actually happening right now.
Okay, brilliant. Hey, Tim, thanks for your time. We appreciate your expertise this morning.
Thank you.
Tim Collins, aviation expert, just clearing up a few things there on Virgin, which is in a lot of strife right now, let's be honest.
Kimber's been in warm storage for quite a while.
She has, actually. Yeah, we'll just check her seals.
Checking your seals.